hard to wait for things to get better. Some of us have spent a great deal of energy trying to make that getting better happen faster and more quickly and more fully. And some of us have resigned ourselves to long waiting for healing in so many nooks and crannies of our lives. Some of us have found ourselves waiting in hospital rooms, in principal's offices, maybe as the kid or maybe as the parent, by the side of the road, by a phone that never rings. We've waited through all sorts of proceedings, through bankruptcy proceedings and divorce proceedings and adoption and custody proceedings. We've waited for families to reconcile, for bones to heal, for wounds to close, for stitches to dissolve and get out of our body. We have waited for anxiety to subside, for depression to give up its chokehold on our spirits. We've waited to be accepted just as we are, just as we have been made to be. We've waited to come home. We've waited to conceive. We've waited for parole. We have waited for addiction to subside. We've waited for the people in our lives to get their mess together so that we no longer feel compelled to clean up after them. And we have waited for that moment when we feel like we have our own mess together so that no one has to clean up after us. We've waited for new loves and new jobs and new leaders, and we have waited with broken bodies in the midst of broken communities and broken relationships. We have waited as exiles and lepers. And it is really hard to wait for things to get better. What do we do in these liminal spaces between what we have been and what we hope to be when we are lost and lonely and isolated and dissatisfied? The scripture passages that we heard today were stories of exiles and lepers, of those living with broken bodies in the midst of broken community, of those who were lost and lonely and isolated and dissatisfied. In the Jeremiah passage, the exiles are the people Israel. They are God's people. And they have been exiled to Babylon, to a place where the empire reigns. And they have no power at all. False prophets have been telling them that they will soon return home, that everything will soon be just as they would like it to be. But through Jeremiah, God tells them not to listen to false prophets that talk about quick fixes, and not to expect a return home anytime soon. Indeed, to the contrary, the people are told to settle down and build their lives amongst the empire in Babylon. And they are given a creational charge, one that echoes words of Genesis. Create here. Plant here. Marry and have children here. Expect grandchildren here. Live here and live here fully. Invest in this place with all that you are and invest in her people with all that you are. Stay and grow. Stay and grow. Neither the foreign land nor the presence of those who might be considered enemies can separate them, can separate us from the love of God. And there is more. Not only are the people Israel given this creational charge, this charge that is full of life and growth, they are given the charge to seek the welfare of the city. This word that we have here as welfare is a beautiful word, or its meaning is beautiful because it means something very holistic. It's a comprehensive sense of well-being. They are not simply called to pray for their enemies, but to seek the comprehensive welfare of all of Babylon, to invest in making things better for body and soul and spirit in a hard place to be. And this use of a word with such a beautiful emphasis on comprehensive welfare, on holistic care, carries us right into the gospel passage where the lepers are made clean. Leprosy was not life-threatening. They weren't sent out of the city so that no one else got it and died. It was a social disorder that no one wanted to see. It was gross. People did not want to look upon this uncleanliness. And so, these people with broken bodies were separated physically and socially and spiritually from their entire community of reference. And the words used to describe the cleansing of the lepers embrace this holistic understanding. They were cleaned. And they were healed, and they were saved. Take note, all of the lepers were healed. All of them were healed. So what is this business with the one who turns back to Jesus? He prostrated himself. He revered Jesus. He thanked Jesus. He was full of gratitude. He saw that he had been healed. He recognized Jesus as the point of healing, as the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. He had sight and insight. He had sight and insight. His faith made him see Jesus as the inbreaking of the Spirit, as the inbreaking of healing. What had Jesus told them all of the lepers to do? He told them to go back to the priests and be checked, because the priests were in the temple, and the temple was thought to be the locus of God, and the priest could declare whether they were clean or not, according to the societal standards which had isolated them. But this last leper, he sees this in Jesus. Jesus is where God is made known. If you're into this kind of thing, I'll tell you that people who write commentary about this tell us that Luke has a very high Christology. And he does. This passage from Luke shows us Jesus as a replacement for the temple, as a replacement for all that had been about the way that Jesus comes into our world. And this leper turned and recognized that Jesus held the divine. Luke tells this story of this healed leper who rightly identified Jesus, and then he throws in a big surprise. Now, we're kind of used to hearing the word Samaritan thrown around, but it was a dirty word. When he suddenly told the story that this one that had done the right thing, that had rightly recognized Jesus, that saw Jesus as the inbreaking of the Spirit into the world, was a Samaritan, he was throwing down. He was a foreigner. This story is not about a Jewish exile. It is about a foreigner who is exiled from the Jewish community. And even the setting plays to this detail. The story is set on the way to Jerusalem in a region between Samaria and Galilee. They were in the middle of nowhere. Samaria represents conflict and rejection for Jesus. Time and time again, the stories that take place in Samaria are stories of conflict and rejection. And Galilee is the place where Jesus' ministry really takes shape, especially where it takes shape as one in which status reversal is the way that God breaks into the world. And here they are, somewhere between conflict and status reversal, on the way to Jerusalem. They were in a liminal space, somewhere along the way, somewhere that represented exile for the lepers. But here in the middle of nowhere, a foreigner who was not of the right lineage, was not of the lineage of Abraham, whose community had been broken because of his broken body, recognizes that he has received the gift of healing, and he rightly thanks Jesus. Where are you in these stories? Where are we in these stories? Broken bodies, broken community, exiles, lepers. We have choices to make about how we inhabit these liminal spaces, how we navigate life between where we have been and where we hope to be, where we wish we were. It doesn't seem that a very good choice is to flail around without taking root, without finding a rock beneath our feet, drowning in a liminal space. We are called, we are given the charge to seek the welfare of our communities, even those in which we feel like exiles. And we are called to do more than pray. We are called to make things better comprehensively, holistically, body, spirit, relationship. Perhaps this feels really hopeful. I think it seems really hard. But hear this good news. all that we are, all of who we are, our physical, our spiritual, our social selves, all of it matters to God. And those people that we might think are our enemies, at least our opposition, all of who they are also matters to God. Family of God, the tomb is empty. And through Jesus, we are all being redeemed. May we recognize healing when it comes our way. May our faith cause us to turn back to Jesus, to name this inbreaking of the Spirit. And may we see the inbreaking of the Spirit in Jesus's work among us. So may it be.